Attention, attention, attention. News of the day. Testing this evening. Preparations should be made for testing this evening. Some have let down in the course of the relaxation with guests present. Some did not. We will ascertain that the difference. Those who passed all aspects of a test will have shown who carried on their responsibilities. Others carried on responsibilities in other ways. So we'll make exceptions for some in future tests and meetings and classes. It is shameful that some people did not have the good judgment to avoid physical hostilities on one day alone, 4 incidents. That makes it difficult. You only hurt yourself by that. It's my desire to make meetings less, testings less, so that people can stand on their own merit, their own conscience. But obviously, people do not yet know how to live socialism without a great deal of structure. Any future violations, we will discuss this tonight. Any future such violations will be dealt with in the most severe fashion. It is gross and grotesque that you want to impose more structure, which not only tires you, but your leader, just because you can't behave when your teacher's out of the way or out of sight. You can't behave. This is dreadful. People's rally will begin promptly at 7:30. Be sure you're listening to the news now. Just some comments on Julius Nyerere, Tanzania, who has been receiving both Soviet and Chinese support. He said when the USSR sent its troops into Czechoslovakia in 1968, Tanzania was one of the many countries which protested. It is expected that we should not protest. It is expected that we should not protest, however, when Western powers send their troops into an African country. These so-called rescue operations almost always seem to result in the death of thousands of innocent people and the rescue of a government puppet regime of the imperialist. But that is apparently not regarded in Europe as interference in African affairs or USA either. There should be no mistake. Whatever the official agenda, the Paris and Brussels meetings will ever discuss, the freedom of Africa should be primary. They are discussing the continued domination rather than how to liberate Africa. They are discussing the continued domination of Africa and the continued use of Africa by U.S. imperialism and her lackeys. They are intended to be taken together a second Berlin conference. The real agenda inside and outside the formal sessions of all of the capitalist meetings will be concerned with 2 things and 2 things only. It will be concerned with neocolonialism in Africa for economic purposes, because USA and Europe, capitalist nations, cannot maintain their standard of living without exploiting our economics, our economic resources. The real control of Africa and African states is obvious, that U.S. and Western allies are intent on total control of our real, personal, total lives. It will be concerned also, always, he warns his African comrades, with the use of Africa in the East-West conflict. They will be led, that is, the imperialist under USA, will be led by the Americans. These 2 purposes will be coordinated so that they are mutually supportive, and the apportionment of the expected benefits and costs will be worked out. But the cost may also be higher than the participants anticipate. Tanzania is not the only nationalist country in Africa. There are other nationalists everywhere. Sooner or later, and as long as necessary, Africa will fight against U.S. neocolonialism and her ally and her puppets, as it has fought against colonialism, and it eventually will win. That, we guarantee you, was Julius Nyerere's primary statement. Continue with the news. From Radio Moscow, in Crimea, President Brzezinski receives Armin Hammer, head of Occidental Oil. Apparently, in new moves, the Soviets are trying to put a wedge between some business elements of USA of a larger nature and its government and its military-industrial complex in general. They have formed a joint effort. President Brezhnev announced that Armin Hammer, head of the Occidental Oil and the Soviet Union, are going into a joint venture in the USSR Siberian region to complete equality and non-interference, with complete equality and non-interference to produce the resources of that land and share with equanimity. Well, this is an interesting approach on the parts of the Soviets, and of course no grave danger to them that they have such a large standing army, strongly loyal to the Politburo, the ruling assembly of the communist nation. Geneva Conference Against Racism in its final session supported the final draft on African resolution. It calls for an immediate end of all racial discrimination, and USA is named amongst those who have offended the policies of racial fraternal relations. Also, it is called for sanctions against Israel, a racist state, by the resolution's own decision. And it is also called for the liberation of South Africa and Rhodesia. The Geneva Conference on Racism will convene again on 1983, but will have committee resolutions for guideline purposes as to their resolutions every year. In Namibia, complaints have been made that the regime of the South African fascist apartheid state that has been held up by USA's military aid directly has ruthlessly exploited Namibia. SWAPO, according to Radio Moscow and also BBC, is gaining support widely. The Southwest African People's Organization is gaining wide support across the non-aligned world and all of Africa. The president of Mozambique opposes military occupation of Indian Ocean, accuses USA to be attempting to move her military presence into the Indian Ocean in spite of pledges that that would remain a zone of peace, like this is between USSR and the Soviet USSR and United States. Our whole region is a zone of peace. USA denies that they have moved any military fleet there for any long-range military purpose, that they are en route to Southeast Asia, that is in great trouble these days. Imperialists need Africa, said President of Mozambique, and he said, do not count on any kind of negotiations, the so-called Anglo-US peace plan. President of Mozambique, the Marxist Republic that has also received aid from China and the USSR and Cuba, been beleaguered by planes provided by USA attacking them from Union of South Africa, and planes provided by USA attacking them from Rhodesia. He said it is foolhardy to depend upon the imperialist discussions and negotiations. All freedom-loving people must oppose by force those exploiting Western powers, that means USA and her NATO allies, that are trying to continue to drain Africa. Kenya, the transitional government, makes a strong pledge of neutrality and non-alignment. This is a breakthrough in the sense that Kenya has been pretty much in the Western world's camp. Pravda says that Japan and Chinese treaty of peace and friendship is certainly good for nations to have such treaties of peace and friendship, but it is openly anti-Soviet. China lays claims to a number of territories in Asia and Southeast Asia in the treaty, according to the Soviet Union. And USSR says it will not remain passive in view of it. It has to take preparations to see that the will and intent of that treaty is not carried out, but because it supports the chauvinism and expansionism of China. It also gave another warning to Japan that in case of nuclear war, which seems ominously hanging over all of our heads. Japan will have to be listed as an enemy of the Soviet people for signing the treaty. You remember Japan and China had been willing to relax that part of that treaty, but USA insisted on certain features being in the treaty, and so Japan and China complied. China is, of course, undoubtedly trying to use all these frictions to bring about breaks in alliances with USA and, for that part, the Soviet Union, maybe, to bring about the nuclear war that she feels certain will come, which is one of the basis, it is the foundation of her doctrine of three worlds. Angola, when threatened by another intrusion by South African troops into her border, which were driven out within 2 hours, went on the air and said she will resist any exploiter. She praised the Soviet Union and Cuba for past assistance, and of all things, Mobutu of Zaire pledged military assistance to Angola against any future enemies. Zaire is one of the most fantastic developments probably in the past many, many, many months, in that it is a right-wing leader, Mobutu Seseko, and has joined into the strongest alliances with Angola. Today, the Zimbabwean Patriotic Front had a field day. They wiped out one unit of the secret police, of the white mercenaries trained in USA, many of them just uniformed U.S. officers, being paid by our tax dollars, which causes guilt to the bottom of our souls. Well, 29 of those secret police were killed today in one raid. 90 soldiers were killed also by the Zimbabwean Patriotic Front in an attack on the eastern region, in one of the largest concentration camps, upheld again. The guilty cause in our minds is indescribable. A concentration camp as fierce as anything in Nazi Germany. But the Zimbabwean Patriotic Front freed all of the hundreds of prisoners that were in this concentration camp on the east, in the eastern region of Zimbabwe, or what the white man prefers to call Rhodesia. Students are teaching the revolution in Ethiopia, highly skilled and trained by Marxist-Leninist lecturers from the Soviet Union. The students are spending their holidays all through the country, in farmlands, every little nook and valley, teaching the principles of Marxist-Leninist principle, strengthening national unity in Ethiopia. All are carrying on a victory and restoration concept, which will give education and food and equality of economic need, meeting all the economic needs by 1980 is their goal. An art festival has been called in the capital of Ethiopia, where all students at every age level will participate in a national art festival to encourage the arts and music, one way of communicating in Ethiopia's mind their socialist revolution. One person has been killed, and perhaps more, said Radio Moscow, in the terrible tragic accident of a Titan II missile inside the USA in Kansas, near Wichita, Kansas. A cloud 1 mile long had to be is a yellowish cloud, has floated as far as 55 miles from the disaster. Several more are laying in a critical condition. One was killed immediately when the Titan II missile leaked. This is not the first, said Radio Moscow of USA, as even the New York Times, which Moscow quotes, said in 1965, 53 were killed alone in an accidental fire, as you know, when the president was saying that no accidents could ever occur in the same kind of a Titan II missile. The Titan II missile warhead carries 24 megatons, enough to destroy, well, properly placed, a third of the size of the state of Texas, all of Northern California, if it was high enough. The Soviets supposedly have laser defense means of stopping many of USA's missiles that would be directed against them. Fortunately, said BBC and Radio Moscow and the Voice of America, this Titan missile, too, was not armed. It did not have a warhead yet placed in it. Obviously, there was some danger of a great deal more, perhaps it being set off, I do not know, or the bomb exploding in the silo. But he said both Radio BBC, Radio Moscow, and Voice of America said, fortunately, almost their words paraphrased each other, fortunately, the warhead, the 24-megaton warhead, that will go 6,000 miles in just a matter of a few minutes to its target, which it would destroy, as I said, areas as large as a third of the state of Texas. But fortunately, all the broadcasters said the warhead, which was due to be placed in tomorrow, had not been placed in the nose of the missile. It was requiring for a moment the evacuation of an entire city of Wichita, Kansas, but the clouds steered away. The yellow haze cloud was lethal, to the degree that 55 miles from the disaster, it killed all of the livestock. That's how dreadful was the leak from this unarmed missile. Soviet cosmonauts continue for many weeks now in outer space on their platform, where they've been supposedly developing heat sensory defense device that could hone in on factories and cut out the industrial might of USA in case of nuclear World War III. They are continuing, said Radio Moscow, to study every part of the land area, the topography, the forest, the seas, and the oceans. They're very open about the fact that they're studying all of the world's surfaces. South Africa makes raids on Namibia, border all the time, says Radio Moscow. Swapu and Zambia are in close alliance. Zambia is also receiving military and economic assistance from China and the Soviet Union again. Zambia has given support to all the SWAPO leaders. Zambia opposes the UN resolution, as did also the nations of Czechoslovakia and the Soviet Union, because they feel that it will only impose a Western-oriented regime too moderate for the people's welfare. Reactions of Vorster and President Kwanda seem to want, though, to get a settlement to the situation by December 31st. Both agree on that. Strangely, a new kind of situation is developing, a new turn of events that always shows how capitalists will sell out capitalists. Anyways, Zambia will continue to give support, said President Kwanda, to SWAPO, the Liberation Forces of Namibia, Southwest African People's Organization, until a free, fully free government is established, as was promised by all nations concerned and all parties involved by the end of this year. Smith, Ian Smith of Rhodesia, has given a hint that he would attend an all-party conference of Zimbabwe. Faced with a new policy of South Africa, he has little else he can do. It's opposed by Bishop Muzorewa. Bishop Muzorewa insists that the negotiations should be through Britain. Typical Uncle Tom talk, because he now sees that Smith may be going to make some kind of a deal with the Zimbabwean Patriotic Front, particularly in view of several military losses, as I just described earlier, that have taken place by Smith's mercenaries provided by USA. And our tax dollars, who are actually many of the thousands of them, are U.S. soldiers in the guise of being volunteers, mercenaries, which mean killers for hire by the Rhodesian pirate government. Muzorewa beginning to see the handwriting on the wall that the three Uncle Tom leaders may be being sold out by Smith, particularly in view of the new developments in South Africa. South Africa is reportedly, according to BBC, and Moscow conducting a saw-off type of USA deal. They accuse this to be the tactics of USA, where they'll sell out one capitalist and sell out one government, like USA sold out Taiwan, which they nurtured and built up to get a deal with China. They want to see Namibia launched as a moderate government, that is, the Union of South Africa and Vorster's regime, and they want an all-party conference with the Patriotic Front. Saying in a private session with a BBC foreign correspondent, we do not want a House of Cards government in Rhodesia. We want a stable government, and that will require a government that includes the Patriotic Front of the nationalist leader Joshua Nkoma and Robert Mugabe, the Marxist-Leninist leader. They see a charade there now, said Voerster, who was a past ally of Hitler in World War II, a real Nazi, but he is coming to terms with reality, it seems. White Rhodesians, said BBC, feel that South African whites support them, but in fact, there is no support. It is a myth. They are being sold out, the white Rhodesians, by the white government, the white racist government of South Africa. For the right, they're being sold out for the right of the South Africans to pull off in their own way into their white citadel and hope that if they are cordial and can maintain economic ties and give assistance to the African nations, that they will be left alone with their own racist regime withdrawn off into a white citadel in the southern tip of Africa. They've decided to sacrifice, said Radio BBC, the Rhodesian whites. It's absolutely clear as a governmental policy of the racist regime that has been upheld by U.S. military aid for years. They have decided, white racists in South Africa have decided to sacrifice the white Rhodesians, and that will mean that many of the white Rhodesians will have to pack up and leave. But they naturally, when it gets down to it, capitalists always look after their own posterior when it's a real tough sledding. So, it's tough sledding. And Union of South African whites are just sacrificing their so-called white brothers and sisters in Rhodesia. They know that the white Rhodesian government's illegal. They know their government's illegal. But they're making these compromises and aiding left causes even, hoping that they will be given the toleration to carry on in their position of leadership and domination in South Africa. USA, according to Radio Moscow, is deeply consternated. It does not understand its own contradictions. Said USA should be more aware of capitalist, sellout capitalists every day. The Spanish government has reversed its policy on fishing due to the brave holdout of the Basques, who you saw so bravely perform in the film For Whom the Bell Tolls. The Basques had totally ignored the fishing policy. The government had been reserving fishing within 200 miles limits of their coastal regions for the big corporations, but they've had to reverse their decision because the Basques have just ignored it anyway, who are the great fishermen of Spain. Nicaragua. BBC said it is clear that the business element, the centrists, the moderates, and all shades of the left and Marxist-Leninists have formed a unified front, and Somoza's imperialist government upheld by USA is only a matter of weeks at best. His life cannot last, says BBC. They're all too well organized against him. You know the tremendous breakthrough that they had there in Nicaragua. The group of Sandinistas, the Liberation Front, it's a left coalition, socialist, communist, took over the national parliament, holding at the top 5,000 as hostages, including family members of the Somozan dictatorship that has been held up by U.S. capitalism for 44 years in a tyrannical hold on the people. Well, when the first demand was met, 80-some political prisoners were flown out. Somoza bowed to his demand, the demands of the 20 members of Sandinista that were in the, that were holding the National Palace of the Parliament. They let out 80 political prisoners from the jails and concentration camps in Nicaragua yesterday and flew them to safety in Mexico and Venezuela, which is moving in a leftward direction, by the way, both those governments. And finally, all 21 of the guerrillas, the remarkable activists that used the best of Marxist armed struggle concepts, left the National Palace and were flown safely to Panama, where some we have chosen to remain. Panama is moving more left every day also, and the Panamanian government has given them sanctuary. And flying with the 21 members of the Sandinistas were 60 more political prisoners, bringing to a total of 140 of the staunchest political opposition to the dread Nicaragua regime. USA continues to say that it was a Cuban effort because USA has no sense of human dignity. They said, we know it was a Cuban effort because the Somoza regime, with our aid, had already wiped out all of the guerrillas and activists in Nicaragua. A great deal of hue and cry about Nicaragua becoming a second Cuba, but it has not affected Panama in giving sanctuary to these brave people, and it's quite a strong stand for the Panamanian nation to give the guerrillas, particularly the guerrillas, sanctuary, because they killed 7 police and military of Nicaragua's so-called puppet regime of USA capitalism. Senegal, one of the few puppet regimes of U.S. capitalism, is imperiled. Its economics is in a state of disaster, says BBC. It is not expected to be able to withstand the inflation that continues. Eritrean nationalists are badly divided, says the BBC, in their efforts to gain independence from Ethiopia, and they've been backed by USA and her imperialist lackeys, but they're not able to get their act together, said BBC, because there are Marxist elements in the Muslim Eritrean nationalist force, and there are extreme right wing. This extreme right wing dominates, but there's also centrist, and there's just not a national unity in Eritrea's efforts for succession and independence from Ethiopia. Brazilian elections will take place by the fall of this year. The Electoral College is stacked with supporters of the present regime, General Geisel's regime, but the opposition is growing, and the opposition is a general also. He is, however, standing as a Democrat, a social liberal. Opposition is in itself originally a creation of the Brazilian military to give the appearances of more democracy, but they did not expect the opposition to gain such grassroots support, which it has throughout Brazil. General Figueiredo was handpicked by General Geisel is the way it is pronounced, to be a successor. But still, the other general has a good chance, says BBC. The opposition party would not compete if they did not feel they had a chance, because in the last elections, when they were put up for appearances only, the opposition protested by not even competing. And the opposition, liberal Democrats, are conducting a real heavy campaign throughout Brazil. Brazil is a rich nation to our south, who has no dispute with Guyana, never had any claim to Guyana's borders. And recently, as you know, Guyana and Suriname and Venezuela and Peru, and they all signed a treaty of friendship and economic cooperation, thus lessening any danger that Guyana would be attacked from any country, because USA could not do it without the assistance of Brazil or Venezuela or Suriname. Anyway, BBC's overall consensus is that there is a moving to more democratic and liberal position by the government. Even if the opposition does not succeed, it will force more liberal and more moderate stands by the Brazilian government. 111 cardinals are sealed into the Vatican Palace. They are reasonably confident who they want, according to most Vatican experts. A consensus is already been heard and reported by one cardinal to a friend that wasn't to get out because it's all to be conducted in secrecy, but it does, as all people seem to have trouble keeping the truth of liberation that could be misused by the enemies from other people. So do the capitalists have the same difficulty. By the way, you are to rehearse those questions and know those questions for guests. We'll be having more guests, and you better answer every question just right. Be sure you are studying to be prepared to answer just right. The consensus of the 111 cardinals, the College of Cardinals that will pick a pope, is this, that they will want the reforms of Vatican II carried on, and more decentralization of the church, giving more power to the local church. They're looking for a man to be the pope who has more buoyancy and optimism than that of Pope Paul, but yet the moderate traditions will carry out the moderate traditions of Pope Paul. Church not yet ready for a black face, said one leading Catholic member of the hierarchy, but they would accept